everyone. Welcome to Insert Home, a tech podcast where we focus not only on great technology in the Microsoft space, but also on the people who make up our awesome community. We're your hosts, Ashley Rogers and Ed Gonzalez, BizApp's MVPs, both focusing on Power Automate. How you doing today, Ed?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. Never better.
I know. I'm super excited. So this is our first time kind of, you know, getting into this, and that's always a little awkward, right? Yeah. So, you know, part of this conversation came up when Ashley and I were trying to, you know, we were talking stories about different things that we're doing and some of the different experiences that each of us had had. And one of the things that came up was just where people's perspective come in. Because, I mean, there's a lot of conversation about the technology aspects, right? And what I've seen recently are some people talking more about the other stuff, right? There's some great podcasts coming out about the mental health side. There's some other stuff talking about, you know, I don't know, more of the backstory of people. And that's kind of like one of the things that I thought we should kind of bring to the surface is not only how do we transition from, you know, a non-tech role, whatever that was at some point, into technology, and then also what are some of the challenges that we face as individuals that we presume either other people face, or like in some cases, what are some of the non-challenges that are faced? Like, what are some of the things that you know, we take for granted? And we just think that everybody has the same story, and then we find out that they don't.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of this, it really rounds out the, you know, people in technology. You know, it's not just a bunch of folks writing code anymore these days. People have different perspectives to bring to the table. And the life stories, the how did I get into tech and the why, there's a lot of interesting, you know, backdrop there. And I think that it lends itself really to folks who understand much more about what people need in business and what they need in technology, as opposed to, okay, you know, complete this task. Yes, it's done. That's it.
In addition to that, too, I think, you know, I think it'll help folks who are sort of circumnavigating technology, right? And maybe looking at it from the outside and saying, you know, this probably isn't for me. Like, for some reason, there's this stigma that people in certain industries, whether, you know, it's technology or, you know, law enforcement or whatever, that we're just kind of born and bred into this thing. And we just, like, our whole life, you know, spent dreaming of sitting behind a keyboard for hours on end and dealing with people saying, I want this to be this color, right? and the reality is that's not the case. And so my hope is, by hearing these stories, somebody will say, you know what? Okay, yeah, that sounds a lot like my story. So maybe I do have an opportunity or a challenge, right? Or I'm sorry, maybe I have a way in, I guess is probably a better way to put that.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing. I mean, that's my story is I have a non-traditional path. I did not study computer science in school. And, you know, in fact, I was a liberal arts person. I have a history major. And, I got out of school, you know, grabbed my diploma and said, what do I do with this? Staring down this path that was going to be, you know, at least for maybe 8 years more of schooling in order to do what I originally thought, which was to be a history professor, because that's the only thing that was in my mind. I didn't really know what else was out there for me. Looking at that and realizing I didn't want the student debt that came with that. It wasn't the choice for me. And that's a hard choice a lot of people make. They do take on the debt and they do go pursue their dreams. And, you know, in a sense, I looked at that and said, I'd rather start over. So what else can I do?
So you were sitting in class, like a history class, or let's call it, you know, an art history class. And you're thinking to yourself, boy, I can't wait to get through this program to show other people about art history. Is that,
that's basically it. Yeah, my focus was on medieval history, and I really loved simply studying, you know, texts. I loved learning about history, seeing the lessons, you know, learned, and I really wanted to teach because I enjoy explaining things and seeing the light bulb that goes off for people. And since I didn't go into that field, you know, sometimes at first, of course, it felt like, well, what did I do this for? But because I had that love of teaching people and that's what I wanted to do, I now get to use those skills and that passion, it just in technology. I'm not teaching history, but I do help people and I do teach folks. And that's one of the things that you and I both do in the community.
So you, I mean, you skipped a big, big step, right? So you went from like, I was thinking about this thing and then now this is what I do. What was the transitional space like? Like, where was the catalyst that said, okay, I'm not inside this circle and I want to, or need to be inside this circle. And then how did you make that transition?
Yeah. So disclaimer here, I really recognize I'm luckier than most in this because my father was a SharePoint MVP for a really long time. I think something like 13 years. So I grew up knowing folks in the Microsoft space. I grew up seeing him do this, but I never thought it was for me. I thought, well, this is just what dad does. You know, this is just the business that he has. So I'm luckier than most because I had this sort of path that was adjacent, you know, and I said, oh, it's not for me. But then when I looked around and said, what opportunities are available to me? I literally went to my father one night and said, what do you do?
What the heck is it you do, Dad? Right. Like, I have no idea.
Like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but what do you do? And I remember, and he tells the story, you know, even better than I do. But I remember he looked at me and he groaned and he was like, no, it's not for you. You do liberal arts, you know, and he's like, you're smart enough for sure. But you just, this is not what you're interested in.
You need to talk to people about old art is what you
mean. Exactly. Good. Went to school for it. Right. So
yeah, I sunk all this money in that. So this is what I want you to do.
Right. And then he thought about it and he came back to me a few days later and he said, if you want to do this, you have to teach yourself. I will provide opportunities, but you have to do the work. And I remember he handed me my very first SharePoint book, which was SharePoint 2010 for Dummies. And he goes, go build a site. And the rest, basically, that's the beginning.
Wow. And so you started out, I mean, you're kind of like focused on Power Automate and some of that stuff when you got the MVP, but you started out in the SharePoint space and we're doing a lot of that. And that's part of how we met, right? At a SharePoint Saturday in Cincinnati, Cleveland, Cincinnati. And I'm the other side, like I had zero SharePoint experience. So completely opposite there.
You come from Dynamics, right? That was your
story. Well, yeah. So it's my journey is a lot longer than yours, but it's, you know, from a tech space, it probably started a long 100 years ago, where I was just selling hardware. You know, I worked at a value-added reseller. And, you know, we sold to businesses, you know, like Sony and stuff whenever they wanted to, you know, get everybody new desktops or buy, you know, servers and things like that back in the olden days when we dealt with stuff like, you know, Token Ring. And so that's kind of what I did. And, you know, fast forward a decade or so. And I'm, you know, working in a call center as kind of the network admin / DBA / whatever, you know, break fix guy. And so that kind of got me started in databases. And then that department decided they wanted a CRM, which was a totally different non-Microsoft product back then. But that was the beginning of that CRM journey. And that was, holy smokes, like almost 30 years ago. Can we edit that part out? Right.
I know. Don't say it.
Right. That was almost at least one Ashley ago.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I know, right? So I stayed there and you know, did that stuff for a bit. And it wasn't like I ever did CRM, like ever as a full-time job. Even the day job that I'm in now, like the CRM aspect is a bullet on the, you know, what I'm doing. And then there's just all these other hats that, you know, I wear that are not even technology related, you know. But I feel like, you know, as far as my technology journey, it started a long, long time. I mean, I was going to school to be a mechanic and do that. Like, that's what I did in the Army. And, you know, I did some other things that were definitely not technology related. But that my, you know, when I was sitting in college class, like my big dream was I can't wait to get out and start designing cars and, you know, working for one of the automakers in Detroit kind of a thing.
Yeah, but see, that's, and this is kind of coming back to my point earlier about the experiences we bring that make you a better developer or, you know, solution architect. And, you know, you're talking about, you know, being a mechanic and the component parts of a car and looking at an engine, and the way that I view, you know, just simply a workflow is it's component parts. It's, you know, putting together, as you've said in some of your blog posts before, ingredients, right? Ingredients, yeah, for the recipe, combining it in different ways. And those are skills that translate. Even though this wasn't technology related at all, that logical thinking, those, you know, compartmentalizing different things, I mean, it goes hand in hand with what we do.
Well, and I think too, it lends itself to, you know, one of the things that I think helps us with our respective audience is our ability to relate to folks at all levels, right? So not putting them on a ladder, but just let's say a spectrum where, you know, you've got people who are not technology, maybe they're management, maybe they're administration, maybe they're, you know, warehouse manufacturing on the floor type stuff. And you're able, because you've got that background and the familiarity with these other things, you can use those analogies and those stories and stuff to kind of explain things on in familiar terms. So they're less alien, they're less scary, and bring people into the fold that way. So yeah, I definitely didn't look at the car analogy, but always the food analogy, because that's my motivator. And so, I mean, that one's always there. But yeah, coming into the Power Platform from the CRM space, that part felt natural. Coming into CRM from, you know, the hardware side, less so, but it kind of happened. And I was having this conversation with somebody on Monday where I said, they had the same kind of thing. They started out in hardware, you know, as a kind of a break fix, you know, networking admin, desktop, you know, support type person, and moving into, you know, the Power Platform or the SaaS side of things. And I said, it's so much easier to keep up with this. I mean, the technology in the hardware side is such a broad spectrum to me. You know, other people might be shaking their head and saying, no way, you know, it's way easier to be in the hardware side. But for me, being on the software aspect of it, or, you know, some of the cloud stuff, it's easier to keep up with the technology. There seems to be more information. You know, it seems easier to kind of choose a path and go with it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. And I think that's also because, you know, the experience that at least I've had, and I know you've had somewhat similar, is that once you're in and you know who to go to and the sites to go to learn things, the community is just growing. And so that some of that ease of it, that accessibility, getting into the software side, is because there are people left and right ready to help, you know. Yeah. And that's part of what has been cultivated over the last couple of years that I think is really fantastic.
I'd be curious to find out if that same mentality, like maybe that was an entire paradigm shift in the entire industry. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's a similar community on the hardware side, you know.
Like, yeah, that would be very interesting to find out. I wonder if there's anybody listening,
right?
Who does,
right?
Know.
Leave,
yeah,
a note in the comments.
I'd love to hear about it, because it's not, yeah, I mean, you sold it. I've never touched the hardware space.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, maybe it is, because I think somebody was showing me this site where, you know, we were talking about building a PC, and there's this whole site where it's just kind of like open source, people, you know, showing the different builds, and it goes out and grabs all the pricing and, you know, shopping links and stuff for you. But you can see all the bits and pieces that go into building that particular PC build. And people just kind of put them out and say, this is what works for me, or this, you know, this, I got this kind of performance out of it. So maybe there is more of a community-based mentality now than there was. Maybe it's because there's more of a forum for it. You know, back then, And this is really weird. Like, I don't have to say how many Ashleys ago this was. But in order to get this kind of information, right, you had to know the phone number of the server you wanted to call. You'd call that server, do a directory lookup, find the document you wanted, and then, you know, download it. Like, it was a thing. And now information is just there. You know what I mean? It's at the point where it'll serve up information before you know you need it, you know?
Yeah.
And that to me is cool. And so one of the things I want to get out of this podcast, or at least serve up in this podcast, is to tell people technology is a safe place and we're going to make it safer, you know? But the idea is, come on over, because, you know, we want you to be here. We want you to tell your story. We want to be a part of that. And, you know, we want to be in this journey together. I love taking people from zero to one. Like you said, that light bulb, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. And seeing that, and then seeing where their journey leads, it's awesome. It's definitely great. So, you know, thinking about the folks that we want to bring in, you know, this is not just going to be you and I, Ed, talking. You know, we'd love to have interviews with folks, even if it's really, you know, you're starting out, right? And this is your leap into technology, and you've just started. Maybe you've only been in the space for 6 months, a year, something like that. These are the people we want to talk to. We want to hear about their stories, their way in to the space, and, you know, ideas that they have for making the community better.
Yeah. And in order to do that, like, I mean, it's not always going to be soft stuff. I mean, it's going to get gritty at sometimes, because I do want to talk about, you know, some of the more difficult topics. I'm working on a couple of initiatives, you know, where we're focusing on, you know, the marginalized, disenfranchised folks, you know, people that have kind of been, you know, have had to face more of a challenge, right, in any industry, in the technology industry. And from my perspective, I just kind of always looked at it like, oh, it's totally safe, right? Because I've never had to think about things like that. And, you know, and then another perspective, and it is, you know, from the woman point of view, right, how different that looks. Simple things like conference calls, you know, doing the video conference, like, you and I had this conversation one time where it's like, okay, I'm going to flip on the camera, and you're like, hang on. Cause there's a lot more prep.
Doesn't have a lot more going on. Right. Yeah. So it's totally related to one of the reasons we decided to go podcast instead of video, because there was a point in time a little bit ago where we were going to do video series and sounded great, was going to be awesome. You know, even though editing can be, you know, a little hard, we're going to get it done. It's actually much harder, and some people may disagree with me, right? Because I know there's women out there who don't have, you know, the same type of pressure that I put on myself, because some of that is there societally and some of that there is internally, right? So everybody falls somewhere on the spectrum. But for me personally, putting on the camera and sitting to record something at 5 p.m. after my long day, after I've been with the kids, I've been running around with them, you know, it's a lot harder, you know, to kind of present the face that I'd like to professionally. Whereas with the podcast, you know, it's safer. I feel on par with everybody else because I'm a voice, and then you get to hear my voice and my ideas as opposed to seeing me on screen. And like I said, for some folks, it's going to be different. It's going to be worse or easier than it is for me. But it's very, you know, it was a very key factor in choosing to do a podcast.
Yeah. And just for your own like sense of being in peace, you're not alone. I've talked to a couple of people about this and just sort of, and every time, like there's a lot of nodding, and I'm nodding as if you can see me, but there's a lot of nodding of heads, because, you know, it's interesting that nobody talks about this. Nobody mentions this kind of stuff. And giving it a voice is so relieving to people, meaning that, you know, they're able to sort of say, ah, finally somebody can say it. Because like, if you were to say something like, hey, can we just do the audio on this? Because I don't want to flip on the camera, in a professional setting, you got to think about, well, how's that going to be received? Right. And how's this going to, you know, and so, you know, that's part of the goal here, is to make it safe for one, you to be able to say stuff or somebody to be able to say something, but also maybe get to a point where you don't have to say something. And everybody is kind of thinking about that perspective and understanding that, you know, in on my call on Monday, right, I was reluctant to flip on the camera because I hadn't shaved and I was wearing a t-shirt, like, that's it. And then finally, okay, fine, I flipped the camera on. And I'm looking at a group of people that are like, the hair is done, makeup's looking great, and, you know, on point, everything, you know, got an outfit picked out. And I'm like, okay, this, and so we started having that conversation, you know, about how unlevel that playing field is. And like, immediately there was that, oh, thank God, somebody's talking about it.
Everybody understands, right? It's the pressure. And everybody, like I said before, everybody experiences it differently, but you're right, it's still there. So
yeah, point is, want to talk about, you know, some of the grittier things that you know, that are, you know, dealing with race and gender and all of the spectrum-y things that you know, make us individuals and beautiful people, and all of our individual stories that kind of bring this into it. I want to personally, you know, get to a place where you know, people feel good being in the industry and can just focus on doing the job, you know what I mean, and not have to think about this extraneous stuff as far as, you know, branding, or, you know, am I coming across too strong or not strong enough or powerful. It'd be great to get to a place where people are just kind of measured on what they do and kind of just who they are, you know.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm super excited. I think this is going to be great. We're going to have a really great range of folks on here. If people are interested and want to submit ideas, totally yep. open to that as well. So yeah, thank you guys. Looking forward to doing the next one.
Absolutely. Great to be here. And I hope to see you there too.